Very often in the blockchain world, we talk about leveling the playing field. If you've wondered what that means, my next guest has a plan of action, a set in motion plan that can help the economic, but not just economic milestones and playing fields. You're going to want to tune in to see more. As always, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, crypto nerds of all ages, my name is Monty, and I am your crypto nerd.
You are now tuned in to the Crypto Nerd Podcast, brought to you by Citrist and AlgoFund. Be sure to like and subscribe.
All right, Joanna, thank you so much for stopping by. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and you?
Fantastic, thank you. So you've got a lot on your plate, and my audience, I kind of teed you up there for leveling the playing field in so many different ways. But before we jump into your project, or really multiple projects, if you could give us just a 2 minute or less introduction just of you and your personal history, because you've got an interesting story where you come from and how you got into this world. Can you kind of give us the short version there?
Yes. Well, I am Joanna. I am from Argentina. I am now living in San Francisco. I was struggling all my entire life with the old patriarchy power, you know, in every field, in academy, in multinational companies, also in politics, because I was congresswoman in my country. So I know very well, because of my experience, how hard it is for we as women to take our leadership positions and to start leading with our feminine energy, that is collaboration, that is gathering, that is work together, that make partnerships, you know. So I came here because I feel a soul calling to solve the biggest problem in humanity, because I am a woman. I was suffering violence and abuse of power in every field. So I realized that the only way to solve it is to share your story, and this doesn't have to happen to any women anymore, any men, any children, anyone. You know, violence is the biggest problem that we all are facing. So this is who moves me. And I came here, it's also violence. We were using the money in a bad way. And now I believe that if we can move money as energy, with love and with kindness and generosity, we can solve the big problems together. So my project is a planetary DAO. I am connecting all big tech leaders here in San Francisco to allocate all the global money on the planetary DAO to implement the financial system that we all need, all humanity needs, and to start using this money in a global way to solve all the big problems that we are facing as humanity. We have structured all the problems in the energy in United Nations and World Bank. So we have the things, we have the tools. We just need to sit in the same table and work together. We got that the old system, all presidents and all CEOs from multinational companies, we couldn't make an agreement yet. We have World Economic Forum. We have all the G7, G20, whatever, how you say, conference that unit all these leaders. And also the most important, that is, in my opinion, because I am activist, is COP, is climate change conference. I was part in the climate change conference. In this conference, you know, all the presidents from the governments and all the CEOs from the private sector come together to make agreement and to solve, well, climate change. Everyone knows, I don't need to explain. And you know, we are, this year we are making the COP 28. 28 means 20 years, because every year
28
we
years.
Are, exactly. And there are 28 years that we couldn't make an agreement. Wait a moment.
It's sad,
they
isn't it?
Make an agreement. They couldn't make an agreement.
I can tell this project really carries a lot of your passion, and it's very personal for you. And it should be personal for everybody, because everybody has gone through trials and tribulations, or everybody knows somebody that's had, you know, some circumstances have been touched by, climate change, for instance, or violence. All of these things are present in our everyday lives, but yet we don't often sit down, as you say, at the same table and have the discussions. And it's sad because it's been, you know, in some cases, you know, 28 years before certain key items are really talked about and addressed in a way that makes sense for everybody. So the Planetary Dao, the Universal Bank. First of all, is the Universal Bank the Dao, or is the Dao part of the bank? Walk me through the structure there. Sorry, was there a lag there?
Yes. Universal Bank is a bank for all of us. What we are doing is democratizing resources for all humanity to allow everyone to be happy and to have well-being. Dao in crypto, all crypto nerds and, you know, artificial intelligence community, we know that we are decentralizing power, we are decentralizing governments, we are decentralizing internet, we are decentralizing ecosystems, we are decentralizing everything.
Everything.
So yes, so this is DAO. DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization. Your audience know about that, but what we are doing is using a consensus mechanism. This is what I am building now, an artificial intelligence consensus mechanism, to arrive to our decisions democratically, but using technology. So this allows to make decisions quickly, because when we are using democracy, that is a right, you know, is a human right. We are voting, this is, you know, democracy.
Right.
Sometimes to arrive at a decision is slow, you know, because we need to listen to everyone. So now, the world, whenever we have the same democracy that ancient Greece, but we have ocean blockchain and all crypto community and in the government, they never use it. Why? So we have technology since a long time, more than 30, 50 years ago, since the computer center started. So mm-hmm. our governments are not using this. So I believe that if we can sit in the same table with all big tech leaders using the technology and show the old system, I mean governments and corporations, we make an agreement to work together and show the humanity that we live in the same planet, that the world is small and we are all in the same global digital jurisdiction, that is the internet, and it's open for everyone. And well, this is what I am building, the universal bank, the universal coin for the entire internet, beyond nation states, but including them, and beyond corporations, but including them. So we are like the third party that should all others, I mean private sector and governments, and allowing everyone, 8 billion people, to exercise their power and, you know, to be like this power in a way to work together.
So the governments are really artificial constructs, right? The borders that we as humans put up around, you know, certain geographical areas, you know, it's all made up anyway. And sometimes those borders change. So a world economy, a global economy, is really what you're looking to unpack and putting everybody on an even keel there, so that the economies really are free to move about without, it sounds like, tariffs and taxations and, you know, border taxes, things like that. Are you imagining that goods and services will be able to be exchanged using the World Bank? Is that an ultimate goal where, you know, funds can be exchanged that way? Or do you foresee that this, Universal Bank will remain virtual and, you know, we'll have a universal marketplace in like a metaverse or something like that? What's the goal?
Well, the goal is we are allocating the global money there. And now, you know, me entrepreneur, I have experience, you know, I launched my startup first in Argentina, then I was living in UK. From UK, I was living in Estonia, because also Estonia, that is a small country in the Baltic Sea, has a very important tech hub. And then from there, I moved to US. And every time I was, because I incorporated my company, I had to pay taxes in Estonia. You know, and now, the world is small, and the companies are worldwide, everywhere. The smallest, and the governance as well. Because I was living in four countries in 2 years. And every people now is migrating. We are in World War III. In World War IV, in World War One, you know, migration important, you know, how is the behavior, you know, to create the new war that came after a war, after a crisis, right? So, in my opinion, we are like thinking in taxation in that way. In my country, in Argentina, we have a big inflation, like 90%. It's unbelievable. But now this is a topic.
It is unbelievable.
In all the, this is a problem in all the world. And I believe that, like, for example, we are paying from every income, we pay like 50% in taxes. And we don't know where this tax goes. We never know. We see the streets. We don't see, you know, infrastructure. We don't see schools. We, you know, so
it's tough to find accountability, right?
Exactly. So now we have opportunity to start thinking this in a global way. The world is small, and I'll decrease this amount to, my plan is to 10%. So we are recording every transaction on the web, like you purchase something in Amazon. Is worldwide, right? But what's happened, for example, in my country, Amazon doesn't exist because there are a problem, because which jurisdiction, oh, you can, you know, deploy your business here but not there, because the agreement, because government with country, so it's a mess. Why? So if we are all in this together, and now we, you know, we can move around the world. And so the thing is, we are recording every transaction on the internet, everything. We are digitalizing everything, and we are putting open and transparent everything on the blockchain, so every people around the world, every nation, every jurisdiction, every company can track the movement of the money. And so you purchase something, you pay just 10% and just spendings. So if we are recording just spendings, people tend to save, you know, and to don't spend in, you know, in a bullshit things, you know. So I believe that this is the way to start thinking global. We got the experience that with COVID, that we cannot solve problems isolated as a nation, because the problems are global. So if one nation take one decision, another. So, you know, we got that experience. So we need
natural disasters,
to
pandemics.
Global.
They don't recognize government borders, right? Those things affect us all the same. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you. So, purchasing a wallet, you're envisioning companies, any legal entity would have a wallet. I see in your business plan, nation states would have a wallet, or any kind of, you know, a government group. In the United States, I suppose it would be, you know, a municipality, a city might have a wallet, but the state might also have an ID, and the country might have an ID. Did I understand that correctly?
Exactly. First of all, to put the vision, we need to solve global ID on the blockchain. And this means planet Earth passports for all. Okay. So if we solve the global ID on the internet, and we can make, you know, agreements with all the governments to give every citizen the global ID internet, this is the first step, you know, who, you know, is real and who is fake. So we need one vote, one son. So for that, global ID is very important. We have Twitter, and we know that one person has so many users, even me, of course. Yeah. Every people, you know, is not regulated yet, and we need to protect in the anonymity, because there are people that they don't want to want to protect their privacy. But yes, with the technology, we can track that one person is one ID is one vote, right? First of all, solve global ID. And when I say global ID, I am referring global ID for 8 billion human beings, one person, one global ID, one passport, okay? Respecting that you belong to this country, to that country, or to, you know, there are people who has like three citizenships, you know, four or one. Now this is common. In my country, all of us are descendants from Spain, Italy, even, you know, other countries.
Forever.
So it's not it's normal, you know? And this is also we have to solve, because depends on our citizenship, we have more rights or less rights. No, we need policy, new standards, new policies for all of us, a planetary citizen. So first of all, solve the ID, and then give ID, you know, to nations, to jurisdictions, loans to municipalities and an ID to companies. So in the internet, yes, John has this ID, is one person. This ID has this ID, is one company. And this nation has this ID. This state, this municipality has this ID. So with this ID, I mean the wallet, now in crypto we know, like you can use whatever wallet, but this is an ID, this is a number, this is a big number. It's not necessary to show your identity. We are protecting the people, of course, but the technology we track that one is one, and that's okay. So this is a starting point, because we cannot pay taxations if we don't solve first global ID. Who is paying what? Mm-hmm. Corporations are paying taxation and people are paying taxation. So this is first. And then who are receiving this global money are jurisdiction, municipality. So also we need the ID on the tech, on the blockchain, you know, to start tracking this amount. So imagine the metaverse, all people in the planet can track which is adding more value, you know, to the internet, to the entire planet Earth. And we are moving this money to create infrastructure in Africa, in South America, in South Asia, in Kazakhstan, you know, in Nigeria, in the countries that need the most, right? So every one of us can see that. So this is
It's very transparent if you want it to be.
Exactly. Open and transparent, everything on the blockchain. This is the basic need to rebuild trust between all of us.
So if there's a global ID system in place, I was just talking to my wife about medical records for our children. Like switching doctors is kind of a hassle to transfer medical records. Could you use a global ID as a key to a system that would unlock, you know, medical records so I could transfer that around easily from location to location? But I don't want it necessarily on the chain because I don't want those records, you know, as transparent, right? All right. We want some privacy. Could that be a key system?
Yeah, exactly. We are, you know, respecting the anonymity of everyone. Because of COVID, it was something obligatory for all of us. If you are wrong, but you cannot enter this country. Every country, you know, got theirs. So now it's open and transparent that we are, you know, traveling with a certificate, saying like, yes, you are vaccinated. Yes, you do the test. You don't have this, you don't have that. So it's something that is open. But yes, now with the technology, we are respecting the anonymity of the person. We can record the history in, you know, for example, in a country, have the clinic history, and hospital has your clinic history, and you have sometimes the health insurance. If you move to other brand, to other company, or if you decide to go to other, you know, hospital, you need to get the permission to the other party that has your information to share.
Complicated.
You know, it's a mess. Why it's complicated, right? We are only together. And imagine that if it's complicated in one city, in one country, imagine now when we are living around the world. So why we can't get, you know, health insurance around the entire planet, no matter where I am living, you know? And that, of course, we need, you know, to get our history in everything, in work, you know, our medical records, our history in like LinkedIn, you know, like our history in our social media as well. Everything in the same ID, very well structured, and we are getting reputation because of that, and we can start, you know, rebuilding trust together.
Sure. So getting the ID. Okay, so let's say that's step one is getting the ID in place, and you know, everybody's got this digital wallet that they can use, and then we can use that in a trustless system. Really, we can provide trust via that. So now, let's say we get 100,000 people is the, you know, first milestone for you. How do we get those 100,000 people to become 1 million people and, you know, 10 million and, you know, eventually, you know, 4 billion or 7 billion, you know, everybody has one. Oh, plus entities. So really you're probably talking about, that's gotta be, you know, 20 billion or something, right? That's a huge number. We're not going to get to there overnight, but let's say we get 100,000 users. How do we jumpstart that economy within that structure and inside the Universal Bank? How do we get people who are using the is it the Universal Coin to swap in between themselves and assign value there? what's backing the universal coin itself? How are we assigning value there and bringing the economy into that system?
Well, first of all, we can't do this alone, okay? So I am in conversations with different nations, states, with different states. Now I am talking with people from government in, here in California, because I am living here now. But in the past, I was contacting like Estonia government. Estonia is a small country, but it's very well advanced in technology. So the government is, you know, wow, it's open source everything. I got the e-residence from Estonia as a tech leader, you know, to get all the rights that many people have to deploy my product is amazing. Even when I was like from Argentina. And now we are doing this with nations, with states. We cannot do this alone. We need, you know, we need to work together. Yes, step by step, but imagine Facebook, you know. In Facebook, there are, you know, 8 billion human beings now there. You know, my grandfather is there now. So it's of course, at the beginning, some product or some service or some experience like Facebook is new, first the innovator center, which is common, the tech people,
early adopters,
you know, exactly, early adopter, but then became massive, like Facebook, you know, this is a step by step, but now technology allow us very fast. So now imagine, for example, El Salvador, it's easy to implement in a small country like El Salvador or like Estonia or like a futuristic state like California here. So, you know, what I am doing is showing how it works in a nation, in a state, or even in a municipality or in a community. And then we create FOMO in the countries, because if Bitcoin has a very young president and, you know, he's engaging the young people in politics, you know, and all the countries want to do the same. Because imagine here in US, young people are not voting. And then we are claiming, but for what you are claiming if you are not voting? But no one votes because no one trusts in anything. But now we have technology. So if we are creating like this FOMO in a good way to engage people in the important conversations that we all have to have in every community, starting from our family, starting from our marriage, you know, then family, then community, the municipality, nation, you know, and global. So this is my purpose, and this is the way I see we can do together.
Okay, there's huge economic impacts. Let's also talk about your implementation of AI and the voting mechanism. Because, you know, I've seen some crazy ideas. You know, the average person in the United States skips, you know, most voting opportunities. Most people in the United States might vote once every 4 years. Exactly. They skip the, you know, all the local elections, and they're not really very engaged. I'm not sure if it's that way across the world. Some places are probably higher, some places are probably lower as far as engagement, whether or not it's, you know, the same mechanisms. Will this engage citizens of their of the internet, of the world, in a different way?
Exactly.
So how does the AI voting come into place? How does that work?
Well,
what is it? Is that a separate, you know, a feature?
Well, yes. Now, if you are following on the social media, we're talking about what would prefer, a human being president or an AI bot president? Because now artificial intelligence and bots are more intelligent than us, you know, to take decisions. Even they are faster. You know, so first of all, this is a topic that I am talking in a funny way, but I am a person who believes
it's serious.
It's serious, and behind technology, we need to have the right people, the right human beings, because of like everything, like every weapon, you know, we can use nuclear, you know, to create bombs, or nuclear to, you know, to save lives with cancer. So behind the technology, in this case, the artificial intelligence, we will be sure that there are the right people, the meaningful leaders, the spiritual leaders who are building this to really solve the crisis in our relationships, the crisis in our behaviors as human beings, and to exercise our power with so much responsibility. This is freedom, but I am mom. I always teach my kids that when you have freedom, yes, you are taking the decision, but you have to be responsible of the decision you are taking. So we are immature as planetary citizens. So this responsibility to exercise our freedom and our power comes, you know, with so much, sorry to say the same word, but responsibility. That means respond. So we have so many leaders that are not responding now. So if you cannot respond, you don't have the ability and the skill to be a leader, because the leader has to have so much responsibility. Means bonds. So we now have technology. Technology can respond quickly to the people. So for me, it is very important to have like a figurehead, an AI, you know, helping us as human beings, as leaders, to take decisions, to give responses quickly to everyone. And I also present my project like Dubai, for example. Dubai, very advanced technology, and they are building like Sophia, that is a robot. And I say, in a joke and in real, you know, because I totally believe in artificial intelligence when we are using a good way to moderate our questions. But we are feeding the artificial intelligence. We are bots. So all of us in a social media, we are moderating each other conversations, and this is something that is sounds futuristic, but help us to make agreements, you know, to solve conflicts, to find ways of solution that where everyone wins, every part, not as right, but to collaborate.
The ultimate win-win scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there were futurists, and they predicted some great things for the world, you know, very positive, you know, things like, you know, infrastructure for roads and electricity, and even in some cases, things like the internet and communication. But we still have a long way to go. And I was reading this article the other day. It was an article mentioning Elon Musk and the tweet exchange that he had about how he was wondering if he had enough wealth to solve things like world hunger. And I'm not sure that he does by himself, but the fact that it's even a question is mind-boggling. Because if we, you know, take Elon out of it, if we just redistributed wealth around the world in, you know, new and interesting ways, we could solve things like world hunger. We technically produce enough food now to feed everybody very well. We have enough doctors and enough medicine technically to give, you know, healthcare to everybody, but we don't do it. In a lot of cases, it's human nature, because we think if we give to somebody else, that means we have less and, you know, we lose some power or some prestige or something along those lines. And what you're asking for is for people to be selfless and to, you know, have an open mind and, you know, put aside the fear that if you give more, or if you share in the economy more, if you share more of yourself, that you will have less, and just have faith that your fellow human will give you back. And so there's this old saying, you know, if you, the more you give, the more you get. And I firmly believe that. And it sounds like in this conversation that you do too, because we give into the economy or give of ourselves, you know, products and services, it doesn't mean that we'll have less. In fact, I'm a firm believer that the economy will grow as a whole. So if we share wealth, you know, distributed globally, then the entire economy will rise up, and you know, things like hunger and, you know, healthcare will fall by the wayside. They just won't be concerns anymore. That's such a base level need that, you know, we'll move beyond that. And I'm really happy to get somebody like you engaged that has, you know, a lot of work ahead of you, but I can tell that you're passionate about it. One last question or note here for you is, when will you be a success? What does success look like for you? You know, in, I don't know, let's put a time limit on, because otherwise it would be too much. Let's say this next year. What does a successful year look like for you?
Well, a successful year is, we have the COP28 on November. I have the tool to implement the financial system for all humanity. So success, you know, we have to get this year, you know, with all the parties making an agreement together. And how we are starting right now, I am working with so many different communities here in technology. We are starting making partnerships with Africa First, mm-hmm. and we're showing the nations and the multinational companies how we partnerships and we together are rebuilding trust and show the way that this commitment is that all of us needs, you know. And if we sit in the same table, all the tech leaders first as a futuristic, mm-hmm. as innovators, we have the opportunity to show the nations and the other corporations how this is benefit for all of us. So main goal now is sitting the big tech leaders, five, you know, the big tech leaders, I mean, you know who they are, right? Sit in the same table, make an agreement, solve globalized internet, create the global government on the internet, and start dynamic from the big tech. And with this money, with this wealth, we are, you know, freedom to, we are solving, and well, we are allocating in the technology. Then it's a matter of times from here, March till November, to allow all the nations mm-hmm. to be there and all corporations as well. So that's the way.
Getting those tech leaders just to play nice with each other sometimes, I think, is difficult, right? But I understand. So, Joanna, fantastic having you here. What is the best place for folks to stay abreast of where you're at, what's going on? I'll put all of your links in the description here. But what's the best place for folks to go to follow you? Are you active on, is it Twitter or is it, is there another group or you know, Discord group somewhere? Or what's the best way for folks to stay up to date with you?
Well, now I move a little bit from Twitter because so much noise. And I am working in a beautiful community that I love, that I feel is my family, that is Nostro. I don't know if you heard about that. And also we got Blue Sky. That was a project, you know.
I've just tried Mastodon as my alternate source now. So I'm exploring these alternate platforms too. So
look, I am exploring everything. I am in Mastodon, I am in Matrix, I am in Element, I am in Discord, I am in Nostro, I am in Blue Sky. You know, it's overwhelming for me because I am trying the experience in everything. Yeah. But let me to say to you that even when we are respecting all the communities, there are so, you know, loving developers, you know, putting their time and attention telling in these communities to build something beautiful for humanity. And that's what I found my community in Nostro. And then now is something very new in Blue Sky. And what this did is like Dorsey, you know, because I believe that we need a heart and a soul in technology. You know, we forgot about the spiritual, the soul and the heart. You know, this is where I came to San Francisco as women. It's easy for us to put our heart in the cold stuff, you know, like technology. Well, I found my community. I choose with my friend on this community, and I am building there since a long time. So I'm in Nostro, my public is in Twitter, but I am in everywhere, you know. You can post on my social media.
All right. Well, the community will love to catch up with you. And I love the fact that you bring your heart and your soul and you wear your emotions on your sleeve, so to speak. And bringing that to the technology is good. A lot of my audience, I know that vibes with as well. And we all appreciate you stopping by. And to everybody out there, I appreciate you tuning in once again. As always, my name is Monty, and I am your crypto nerd. Bye, everybody.